The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
To play and win. Not a member? Get the PennPlay app today. LaBerge Casino Resort Lake Charles, your live sports headquarters. Must be 21 or older. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700.
Neil Armstrong waited 6 hours and 39 minutes to step onto the surface of the moon. Jackie Robinson waited 20 months to play his first game with the Brooklyn Dodgers. And even DiCaprio had to wait 22 years to win an Oscar. You can wait until your destination. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
This is ESPN 97.5, brought to you by Zada Jewelers, KFNC, and 97.9 HD2, Mont Bellevue, Houston. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 proudly present The Killer Bees.
Definitely a fan of The Killer Bees.
Don't sweat the technique.
Now from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, bringing you the fastest 3 hours in Houston sports radio, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Ooh, what up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing?
He's Blank, I am Branham, it's Brian behind the glass. It is a Taco Tuesday edition of The Killer Bees that is definitely the lead. Not the MLB trade deadline, the fact that it's Taco Tuesday. MLB trade deadline, the pencil's down in less than 2 hours now. 5 o'clock is when the trade deadline will expire. Dana Brown have a move left in him. Made a move a little bit ago, acquired a loogie from the Yankees, and then, of course, made the big splash yesterday. We had hints of it as we were departing yesterday. Jake Bloss was scratched. The Astros sent out the official tweet that Jake Bloss has been scratched. They didn't include a reason why. We put two and two together, and he was eventually traded. We knew at first that it was, Jake Bloss for Yusei Kikuchi. Okay, it's kind of a bitter pill to swallow. And then we find out during the middle of the game that included in the trade is Joey Loperfido and Willie Wagner, Billy's boy. So the Astros have traded Willie Wagner, Joey Loperfido, Jake Bloss for 2 months of Yusei Kikuchi. Yusei Kikuchi, I say trash. What did you make of this trade yesterday, Blankers?
I hated it, Jeremy. It made me sick to my stomach, and I was on my way to the airport, and all the announcers, of course, could not talk about it, but they could hint about who wasn't in the dugout and what was going on. And you and I, when we were walking out of here, were contemplating, is Bloss being scratched because he's hurt, or is he being scratched because he's part of a trade? That was enough to pay for me to get a rental of the value of a Kikuchi. But then when you, like you said, as the night goes on, and then people start telling you, and then you start reading the reports on Twitter, and everybody saying, hey, by the way, Loperfido's in the deal too. Hey, by the way, so is Will Wagner. It's not even the names involved anymore, although a lot of people were under the impression that Joey was untouchable. It isn't even about that. It's the fact that what you gave up at that price tag of those three prospects was greater than what it took to get Fetty from the White Sox. It was greater than what the Rangers got for Lorenzen. It was greater than what Mariners gave up to get Randy or Rosarena or Estevez from the Angels that went to the Phillies. And I'm looking at it and I'm going, okay, wait a minute. I understand we're hell-bent on getting a starting pitcher. But there were several other rentals that were out there. For a rental with his numbers, it seemed to be way, 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 way too much. And you still had about 24 hours on the deadline to where you didn't have to do it right away. And I was just pulling my hair out, what's left, going, what are we doing here?
Yeah, I don't know if you can use the non-starting pitchers as comparison, though.
That.
Like, I don't think you can use Randy or Rosarena. I don't think you could use Estevez. The Fetty one, to me, is the one that you can really look at is like, But at the same time, that was like part of a three-way trade, mm-hmm. and the Cardinals traded like a utility guy and Tommy Edman. That was part of it, so did that factor in? the price has been really high on pitchers, and we talked about this yesterday, that the price is extremely high. Look, I don't like this trade. I'm just going to go ahead and put that out there now, but I can tell that I'm probably going to be defending the trade a little bit just on the tenor of that opening statement. I do not like the trade, and if you follow me on social, at Jeremy Branham on Twitter, at Jeremy J. Branham on TikTok, I was pretty vocal about that. I don't like what you gave up. In fact, I'm not sure I would trade any of the three prospects for Yusei Kikuchi straight up.
Agreed.
I wouldn't have traded Jake Bloss for Yusei Kikuchi straight up. I wouldn't have traded Joey Loperfido for Yusei Kikuchi straight up. Willie Wagner's the closest one, but I probably don't trade Willie Wagner for Yusei Kikuchi straight up. And the reason for that, yes, Kikuchi makes the back end of this rotation better. I think that Yusei Kikuchi is slightly better than Jake Bloss today, right now. So yes, you improved your current number five starter in this rotation. Now, is he better than Spencer Arrighetti? I think that's an argument. I think he has better stuff than Spencer Arrighetti, but he's not pitching better than Spencer Arrighetti has in the last couple of months. You say Kikuchi's numbers in the last 12 starts rival Jake Bloss's, actually. Like, we're looking at the 4.75 ERA. People are looking at their FIP and their Sierra, all these stats that are just made up, I think. The last 12 starts for Yusei Kikuchi, he has an ERA north of 6.50. His whip is astronomical. People are saying, well, he's an innings eater. If the best attribute of a guy you're trading for is that he's an innings eater, the guy's probably not that good. So, and there's just the fact, too, that he's a rental. Like, if he had a multi-years on his deal left, okay, I still don't love it, but at least he's a guy who's under club control. He's a starter that you can factor into the back end of your rotation for multiple years. To do it for 2 months, not worth the cost. Yes, I understand it's the price. I think that Dana Brown, quite frankly, like he put himself over the barrel or were desperate for starting pitching. And maybe it was a mandate. I don't know. The Astros front office was desperate for a starting pitcher. They saw the prices. They became more desperate as the clock was ticking down to today's 5 o'clock deadline. And the Astros paid a premium price for a starting pitcher who, best case scenario, does not factor into their playoff rotation. And yes, this move is to help the Astros make the playoffs because it's not a lock that they're going to be in the playoffs. Yes, it helps the back end of the rotation. But best case scenario, you say Kikuchi's pitching out of the bullpen come playoff time behind Fromber, behind Hunter Brown, behind Justin Verlander, behind Ronel Blanco. So the Astros traded a king's ransom for at best a number five starter who's been pitching poor. It's a rental project that Dana Brown and the Astros gave up yesterday.
Well, and this is what really pains me about it too, is the fact that he wasn't the only rental on the market. He wasn't the last guy standing. This wasn't desperation time. This wasn't where you don't have any other options. And we talked about what Fetty went for, but we know that, you know, that they had talks with about tie-on with the Cubs. We know that there was Flaherty who's still there with the Tigers. And the thing that bothers me is that you have to have a poker face. Dana was out there with diarrhea of the mouth for the last several weeks, just basically throwing up all over to say, we have to get a starting pitcher. So the desperation already was you could feel it in the fact that wherever it came from, the direction that he got was, he's hell-bent, he's going to get a starter. I understand that, but general managers understand that too, and they hear that, and they see that, and they understand that they're going to, you know, there's blood in the water, we're going to go get it. And it's up to you to be able to be strong enough to maybe say no the first time, even if you come around and say yes at another time. But it wasn't like it was the only option out there. And the fact that you gave up all that you gave up was so excessive to me for a guy that, yes, I understand he's got a plus-plus fastball. He's got some good pitches. He's left-handed. But at the same time, I don't understand why the urgency was to get this deal done. If you had been talking about it for the last week or so, you better have been talking to everybody that had rentals and guys under control.
I mean, you don't think they were talking to every team?
But that's what I'm saying. So at the same time, you can weigh all these other things, and you don't have to pull the trigger right then and there and give up as much as you did. If you got Kikuchi for one prospect, even if it was Will Wagner, I'd be fine with it. The fact that you gave up those guys, and especially two guys that have already been up to the big leagues that seem to be part of your big picture as well as your short term, all three to me was way, way, way too much for me to be good with this trade.
The question that I have, because look, I do think that the 2024 Astros are better now than they were yesterday before this trade. I do think that they're better right now than they were 24 hours ago, the 2024 Houston Astros. Because Yusei Kikuchi has been poor. He's been poor. He's still better than Jake Bloss currently right now.
Agreed.
What you lose in Joey Loperfido, I don't know what Pedro Leon's going to be, but quite frankly, Joey Loperfido was a below-average replacement player this year. He had not been performing well. That's not to speak to his potential. That's talking about this year alone. Because I do think that the Astros got better with this trade when you look at it in a single-year perspective. When you look at it from a 2024 perspective, yes, I think the Astros are a little itsy-bitsy better today than they were 24 hours ago because Kikuchi is a slight improvement over Jake Bloss. Now, 12 starts for Yusei Kikuchi, 3 starts for Jake Bloss. Their numbers are kind of comparable, so it's not like this huge step up. The question is the short-term gain, which again is marginal, it is small, worth the long-term opportunity cost? I don't think it's even close. Like, if you were to look at this from a war perspective, what Yusei Kikuchi gives you in the next 2 months versus what Joey Loperfido, Jake Bloss, and Willie Wagner combined to do, and all of them have 6 years of club control, by the way, I think it's going to be pretty lopsided in favor of Toronto when you look at this from like a wins above replacement perspective, and the fact that 3 guys, 6 years of club control, 18 years altogether versus 2 months of a number 5 starting pitcher.
Yeah, no doubt. And that's where I'm at, is the fact that I just think they gave up too much. They, I don't know the complete reasons why, but you know, when you look at everything, even if you thought Will Wagner was a little too old, or you thought that, you know, no matter what everybody else was out there with the reports, that you believe as a talent evaluator, Leon's a better prospect than Loperfido. You and I have had the conversations before about me questioning, is the power ever going to come back? Can he really be a corner outfielder in the big leagues on a consistent level in the big picture? You don't know, but at least he's been serviceable when he's been up. But at the same time, it's more about the fact of how much you gave up. The fact that you might feel that way about all these different guys, but you're also not only in the market for one starting pitcher. You could actually have used 2. You could use a bat. You could use a relief pitcher. You don't have the kind of farm system that a lot of teams have. And the fact that you just threw 3 in the wind for a guy like Kikuchi just was mind-numbing to me.
Yeah, I don't think you can trade for 2 starters, though. Like, you saw the price of a rental number 5 starter. I don't think that the Astros can pay that price times 2.
But I'm saying, but they were in the market for those things, which meant that they still have other needs. So even if you didn't have enough for a starting pitcher, you were still looking for a bat. You're still rumored now coming down the stretch of being in the conversations about a Yandy Diaz. If you're in the conversations for Yandy Diaz, it would probably help to have at least one of those guys still in your portfolio to be able to offer up as part of a package trying to get something else. And the fact that you spent it all in one blow right here to get a guy that just been meh, yeah, is extremely frustrating.
Well, they determined that starting pitcher was the number one priority. They said before they do anything else, they need to shore up the back end of their rotation. Whether you believe that was the right decision or the wrong decision, I think we can all agree that the Astros' priority was starting pitching. And you're onto something, Dana Brown running his mouth. I usually think that stuff's overrated. But to be that desperate and then to be that public about it, well, if you're another general manager, well, Dana Brown, we know how desperate you are for starting pitching. And you knew that the Astros were desperate for starting pitching before Dana Brown ever said anything. Just look at their rotation. They're running out Jake Bloss every 5th or 6th day. So you know that they're desperate without Dana Brown actually saying it. But the Astros made it clear that their priority was starting pitching before all else. It wasn't a bat. It wasn't a reliever. And they actually traded for reliever today, mid-reliever. But their priority was very clearly starting pitching. Whether you hate this trade, which is 95% of you, whether you're backing up this trade, which is the other 5% of you, we can all agree that Dana Brown and the Houston Astros front office, they made it clear that starting pitching was their number one priority.
And that's what I hate, too, because when you're you
don't think that was the number one priority,
No, I love that it's the number one priority, and we all could pretty much surmise that before he even had to say it. But you keep everything close to the vest. And a lot of times, you know, like we say when we talk about guys that do press conferences and stuff, even if it's something that you 100% feel, you don't have to tell the media that. You can tell them something exactly the opposite.
Yeah, but if you're an opposing general manager, you know that the Astros are desperate for starting pitching without the general manager being public about it.
I get that. But the biggest problem that I have with all of that is just the overpay. The fact that because of, you know, all the different factors and everything that we're talking about, say less, try and do more, but at the end of the day, you don't get as much backlash either when you're not out there actively kind of over-speaking when you don't have to. And I think that, again, my big thing is you're right. We all knew starting pitching was the number one priority. But if you had one of those guys back, or God forbid, but if you had 2 of those guys back,
but you weren't getting a starting pitcher then.
But Jeremy, we don't know that for sure. I know the market's been extremely high.
I mean, it's pretty easy to tell what the market is.
Fetty went for a steal compared to what you're talking about you gave up for Kikuchi.
But it also required a major league player to be involved in that deal.
a guy that's been hurt, though, too.
But he's been good whenever he's been healthy.
Yeah, okay. But I still think, and we can
and
go
Fetty
back.
And Fetty was also not pitching in baseball last year. He was pitching, like, in Korea. Like, he's having a career year, and, like, the peripherals don't love him. Whereas Kikuchi's the opposite. Kikuchi's ERA and stuff is bad. The peripherals kind of favor him a little bit.
Yeah, the last 8 starts, it bothered me. But the fact is, look, everybody you talk to says plus-plus fastball. First 3 pitches are plus better than most in major leagues when he's on. His control is a big issue. You hope that they can maybe do some things to change that as well. But at the same time, you didn't see even the big names come off the board yet. There were still guys that were out there to where you weren't like in desperation mode yet to have to throw that many prospects at that guy as opposed to leaving your options open to see maybe someone else might be willing to take a little less.
See, I don't like the trade, but I do feel like the Astros felt that they had to do it when they did it.
Do you think, okay, because I was going to say, would you rather have Taillon, Kikuchi?
Taillon, I don't think is on the market, I don't think. I mean, the Cubs are kind of buying. I know they traded a reliever today, but and I was reading reports today, too, that Taillon has not been told by the Cubs that they're shopping him.
Well, there was a report earlier this week late last week that the Astros had talked to the Cubs. But I'm just saying, if you had your choice of guys, Flaherty, Fetty,
well, apparently the reports were that the Astros were talking with the Tigers yesterday and the price was too high. So if the price was too high for Flaherty, they probably offered this package for Flaherty and were turned down.
But you would at least hold out to say, hey, can you want a counter? What are you getting from other teams?
But you don't think that was happening.
I don't know to what extent it was happening, but it comes down to the clock to me that you had still plenty of time where you didn't have to jump right away.
Yeah, you could have waited 18 hours. There is that element to it, sure. 713-780-ESPN. We'll take your reaction on this. We're going to be heavy trade deadline today. Trade deadline coming up at 5 o'clock today. Do the Astros have another move left in them? Do they have anything left to trade? Yandy Diaz is being rumored. We'll be your eyes and ears. Anything that happens with the Major League Baseball trade deadline will be all over. If the Astros make a move, we'll be all over that as well. We'll talk a lot about this Kikuchi trade. There was a baseball game yesterday. It didn't feel like that, but boy, did it not turn out well. Yesterday was a tough day to be an Astros fan, especially if you didn't like this trade. We'll cash them or trash them. Bad tweets a little bit later pertaining to this trade. Saw some terrible tweets yesterday that we're certainly going to make fun of. 713-780-ESPN. We'll take your thoughts. We're on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN97.5, on YouTube at ESPN Houston. You can watch us live on Twitter at ESPN97.5. Blankers is at Pac-Man Joel on Twitter. Brian's at Sacked by BMAC. I'm at Jeremy Branham. I'm going to devil's advocate this trade a little. Look, I don't like this trade. You say Kikuchi, I say trash, but I am going to devil's advocate it a little when we return. 713-780-3776. It's the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Guys, before we go to the break, a word for Vanderford Air, because Vanderford Air is at your service and they guarantee everything that they do. And yes, it's right now all about the air conditioning. Yes, they do dehumidifiers into your air conditioning systems. Yes, they do plumbing and they do so much more. But right now it's all about the dog days of summer in Houston and being able to combat it and protect yourself with air conditioning. Don't wait till your system goes down. Have it checked out now by the good people at Vanderford Air. And the reason why I say that is because they're best in the business. They back up everything that they do. They put everything in writing. They guarantee that the work that they're going to do, the parts they're going to put in, the systems they're going to replace, and everything that goes around it leads to 100% satisfaction for the customer, or you get your money back. It's guaranteed. It even goes so far as to say when you call them, maybe you've got an emergency and your air conditioning went on the fritz, you don't want to wait a week or 6 or 7 days or 4 or 5 days whenever their backlog slows down. They guarantee within 24 hours of you calling them, they're going to be there to see you. That's what you need. Guarantees and the backup to know that you're going to a customer, or you're going to a company that values the customer enough to back up everything they do. 281-557-COOL. Save that number in your phone right now. Maybe call them and get your system checked out before it's too late. 281-557-COOLER. Go online to VanderfordAir.com and check out all the different ways they can help you and see if maybe you can set up appointments so they can get to you within 24 hours. They're the best in the business. That's why I speak for them. VanderfordAir.com.
ESPN 97.5.
I got what it takes to rock the mic right, yeah.
Rock the Mic is back.
Oh, this is gonna be good.
And it's time to find the newest Houston sports podcast. The winner of Rock the Mic will receive a podcast hosted on the ESPN Houston YouTube channel.
Really? What, the YouTube?
Whether you host a podcast currently or have always wanted to start one, now's your chance. To enter, send a 3 to 5 minute video giving your best Houston sports take to rockthemic975@gmail.com. That's rockthemic975@gmail.com. gmail.com. Enter solo or with a co-host. The winner will be announced at our live finale on Friday, August 23rd at Carbach Brewery. So send your entries in now to rockthemic975@gmail.com.
Got what it takes to rock the mic right.
Time to hydrate. Grab a Rambler Sparkling Water, the official sparkling water of ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. A Texas mineral blend available in original lemon lime, grapefruit, satsuma, and now blackberry. Ramblers do it better.
Join ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 this Friday as we broadcast live from noon to 6 at NRG Center for the 2024 Texas Trophy Hunters Extravaganza. Hang out with Paul Gallant, Joe George, and the Killer Bees at the Granddaddy of Hunting Shows at NRG Center.
Now that the storm has passed, count on Lowe's for help with cleanup and repair. We want to make sure you have everything to begin the path to recovery. Count on necessities like roofing, lumber, and electrical in the quantities you need. We're here for your community. Visit Lowe's in-store or online to find out about relief efforts in your area or get emergency supplies now.
I spray and scrub, but the soap scum in my bathtub is still there.
I spray and scrub, but the burnt sauce on my stovetop sticks around.
Sprays can leave grime behind, but Mr. Clean Ultra Foamy Magic Eraser combines the scrubbing power of an eraser with the cleaning power of Dawn to melt away tough messes on contact.
Just wet, squeeze, and erase.
Stop spraying, start erasing, and clean with more magic than ever with Ultra Foamy Magic Eraser.
Mr. Clean, Mr. Clean.
Paid for by Jackpot.com. You must be 18 or older to order a lottery ticket. Please play responsibly. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Listen up, Texas. At Jackpot.com, you can now buy your favorite lottery games, including Powerball, Mega Millions, Pick 3, Lotto Texas, and more, right from your phone. Go to Jackpot.com, choose your lottery game, pick your lucky numbers, and get your winnings instantly. Plus, use promo code TEXAS to get a free ticket with your first play. Go to Jackpot.com and buy lottery tickets on your phone. Go to Jackpot.com. That's Jackpot.com.
You found the Killer Bees live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Oh, Alan Jackson for you. Chattahoochee. That's how you say Kikuchi in the South.
If you want to chat about Kikuchi, yeah. It's Chattahoochee.
Chattahoochee's how you say Kikuchi down here in the South. SEC country.
Big 12 country.
This is how you say Kikuchi if you're a Southern gentleman. Chattahoochee.
I just keep thinking to myself, ask Renato about that. You know, he'll just go off the deep end with something crazy.
Chattahoochee's a river.
I know.
Just a river. That's all that it is. But this is how you say, Kikuchi down in the South. 713-780-ESPN.
You get yourself a burger and a great snow cone, you talk about Chattahoochee.
Mm-hmm. The wonderful and the great Alan Jackson. A lot of people have some thoughts on this. Here's the, and I think Junior Broncos sums this up pretty well, one of the few pearls that Junior Broncos delivers. I don't hate what we gave up, hate what we got. That's really where I'm at. I don't think that, look, Jake Bloss to me is one of the three prospects that I think the most of. We forget how dominant Jake Bloss was in the minors in just his second season in professional baseball before he came up. We're putting way too much stock in three big league starts when he probably, quite frankly, wasn't quite ready to be called up. I think that Jake Bloss of the three has the best future of what you gave up. I will say that at least two of these prospects have major red flags, quite frankly. And maybe Jake Bloss has the red flag, too, that his stuff doesn't translate to the big leagues. But Jake Bloss is the one that really stings me. If this was Loper Fido and Billy's son, Willie, for Yusei Kikuchi, okay, all right, I can understand that. Joey Loper Fido has red flags, whether you want to believe it or not. Joey Loper Fido's strikeout rate is terrifying. And Joey Loper Fido got off to a hot start, and this is why he didn't play every day, and this is why they were so quick to send him back down, because they saw this in his swing. We talked about the BABIP when they brought him back up. His strikeout rate is really, really high. People are saying on the text, oh, you know, he plays such good defense. I actually think his defense is a little bit overrated. I think he makes fantastic plays. I think he has good recovery. I think he's good at, you know, finishing the play, diving, et cetera, et cetera. I think he gets terrible jumps, and I think he takes terrible angles, quite frankly. And then the strikeout rates through the roof.
Throw in there, too, his arm ain't great.
He doesn't have a very good arm. People over, oh, he's got, he threw out the guy at second base. Yeah, he one-hopped it from the Crawford boxes and throws it from here.
He's got a really funky delivery.
So I think his his defense is overrated. Not that he's a bad defender, but people, oh, he's a great defender. He's not a great defender. He takes terrible angles, gets bad jumps. Some of his diving plays are like 70% catch probabilities. His bat is a concern. Like, you're striking out as much as he's striking out. You're wondering if you're ever going to figure it out. Yes, he's a rookie, et cetera, et cetera. But that's a major red flag for Joey Loperfido. Willie Wagner has a major red flag, too, in that he might be a positionless bat who's pretty good. Pretty good bat, good contact, no power. He's probably best suited to play first base, although he's tiny. He's wide, but he's short. But does his bat play enough at first base? Maybe not. Like, I was reading Keith Law today, and they were talking about how Willie Wagner probably projects to be a bench guy, how Joey Loperfido projects to be a fourth or fifth outfielder. Jake Bloss projects to be a fourth or fifth starter. So, while I don't like the return either, if you could have gotten Jack Flaherty for this package, I think they would have gotten Jack Flaherty for this package, quite frankly. I think the Tigers were asking for more than this package, and then Dana Brown said, well, we're not going to add any more to this package. We're going to trade this package for a starter that we can get right now. So I don't think that Flaherty was on the table for these three guys. I don't necessarily think that the Astros traded away a guy that we're going to look back in 4 to 5 years and be like, man, that was the guy that got away. Oh, man, Dana Brown shouldn't have traded that. So I don't hate the package out. Mm-hmm. I hate the 2 months of the pitcher you got.
No, and I think that's a great way to sum it up because, again, I think that they gave up too much just simply in the numbers of a somewhat depleted farm system and where they sat or what value I thought they might have, especially if you were looking to make more than one deal and where you were on the clock. But at the same time, you're right. If this was a deal that you gave up for Flaherty, I'd probably be a lot more excited. Yes, it's still excessive, but I mean, Flaherty in his last start was lights out. He was fantastic, and that's a guy that I've been high on for a while, and I wanted because I think he'd be a great fit here.
Also a rental.
Again, also a rental. And I agree, and I understand that because I think that is – the big thing to me is the return, and I still think it was excessive how much you gave up, but I think that Kikuchi was the one to me that the minute I heard the name and I was just like, eh. And then when the package kept growing with all the guys involved, I was like, man, if this was a deal that got you Flaherty, I'd be really excited. If this was even Brian's guy, Tyler Anderson, I'd be really excited because I think that you're right. We never know how these prospects are going to turn out, and I've said all along, I don't worry about what you're giving up from prospect-wise if you feel like you've really made an impact for your team the rest of the way. You said it. I don't think they made a big impact on their team the rest of the way. Did they get a little better? Yes. Is there a chance because of the fact that it's not his arm and he does have some good stuff that he could straighten it out and get a fresh start here and it could be different? Sure. But the concerns are because of the fact, like I said, what they gave up and the way it all came down.
Yeah, I don't know if... Kikuchi strikes out a lot and doesn't walk many. I think he probably needs to nibble a little bit more. I think that's probably how they're going to try to fix him a bit. I was looking at some of his repertoire, and yes, he throws hard. He throws everything hard. He throws his fastball hard. He throws a slider hard. He throws a curveball hard. He throws a hard changeup. Like he's a high velo guy. But his fastball gets lit up. Like he has one of the highest hard hit rates in all of baseball. I was looking at the spin stuff because people are like, oh, his stuff's so great. And yeah, I guess it is because the strikeouts are high. His spin stuff, the RPMs and the spin rate, it's pretty average amongst Major League Baseball standards. So, and he's been terrible in his last 12 months. There's no way around that. Yusei Kikuchi in his last 12 starts has an ERA north of 650. Mm-hmm. You just want to look at Yusei Kikuchi's like month-by-month splits here. He started off pretty good April, March. He started off pretty good. 2.94 ERA in six starts. Good. In May, five starts, 3.62. Okay, not bad. That works. June, six starts, 6.26 ERA. July, five starts, 6.59 ERA. Oh, you can't tell everything on an ERA. His whip in June, 1.573. His whip in July, 1.427. So he's been pretty bad. And outside of one season, he's been pretty poor as a big league starter. In fact, a couple of years ago, they kicked him out of the rotation, which it was an okay rotation in Toronto a couple of years ago. But outside of that year, he made the All-Star game, 4.41 ERA. Like, he's had 1 year with a sub-4 ERA. Like, yeah. He is a back-of-the-rotation starter. And to get 2 months of him.
Yeah, that's where... And I guess the more frustrating thing was also I would understand if you were down to the last minutes of the deadline. You know, there were only a few starters left. You really had to press the panic button because you really had shown your hand already. You knew what everybody else knew. You were desperate to get at least one guy. So you had to go get him. But with all the other guys that were still out there, you know, I've heard the narrative, and I don't know if you've heard it, but I've heard it from a few people. Hey, I can't tell you exactly all the details, but there were teams that just said they're hell-bent on not dealing with the Astros. Even if that was one team, two team, there were a few teams, there still were enough starters out there where you would think that there were other options for you than to jump on just Kikuchi.
Yeah. I mean, you were close to the deadline. I mean, you were less than 24 hours when you made the trade. 1509, the only way this trade works out is if Kikuchi pitches light out like Randy Johnson did at the Dome. True or false? I sent out a tweet yesterday. I used the Randy Johnson Astro uniform SI cover, and I said the last time that the Astros traded three players for a left-handed rental, and, you know, people just lost their minds that I was being serious with that. But I did come up with a good nickname for Yusei Kikuchi.
Like,
that one, too. But Randy Johnson was the big unit. Mm-hmm. Yusei Kikuchi forever in my mind will be known as the mid unit. We had Randy Johnson, the big unit, the last time that you traded three players for a rental left-handed arm at the deadline, and now we have the mid unit, which might be pretty nice for Yusei Kikuchi. He might not even be mid. He might be worse than mid, but the mid unit for the Houston Astros.
Okay. I was thinking kid unit, because Kid Kikuchi is...
Yeah, he's like 30-something years old. No,
but he's... Randy's still older.
I don't know if he was at the time of the trade.
No, not at the time of the trade. I'm saying now.
Sure.
But yeah, that's fine. I hope it works out. I hope that they can work their magic with yet another pitcher with all these guys when we've said this in the past, but not under these circumstances of they got a guy that's been kind of just a guy, and then they get with him and the spin rate goes up and the location gets better and things happen to where, you know, you've heard these stories of all these different guys when they got here and all of a sudden the catchers are talking to them between pitches and they're showing them video and they're tracking the spins and suddenly it all starts making sense. I hope so. I don't expect a Randy Johnson type finish down the stretch for Kikuchi. Whether he re-signs or not and whatever he does, I don't anticipate him being a big part of the playoffs for this team if they make it. But they made the deal. We have to deal with it. And we just try to move on, because at least from the standpoint of, if nothing else, he's better than Bloss the rest of the year.
Yeah, we're never going to move on. If he pitches poorly, it's going to live in infamy. Sports history. Like, you never move on from bad moves. Jose Abreu, we're never going to forget that. Brock Osweiler, we're never going to forget that. So the whole, like, move on thing, I don't subscribe to.
But I'm just saying you have no choice, because there's no going back on it. But yeah, you're right. You're always going to remember the trade, whether it was all the ones you mentioned or other ones along the way when you start talking about the D-Hop trade, or you start talking about who was your Liriano trade when they traded for Liriano and they gave up Teoscar Hernandez. So you go, but you just have no choice but to just go forward. At the same time, if he craps the bed, like, this is something that is going to be on Dana's resume. I've defended Dana as staunchly as I could for a lot of this stuff and protected him from the possibility that Crane and Bagwell have just been too much. But I feel like this one is all on Dana, and so we'll see how it plays out.
I've heard a lot of that. I think that's unfair. I think it's totally unfair that if it screws up, we're going to blame Dana.
It's not just because it screws up.
The owner signs off on every single trade.
But I just feel like this was Dana's move.
Yeah, I'm tired of the whole, well, whose move is this? And we're kind of cherry-picking. Well, this trade was bad. It's Bagwell's. This move was good. It's Dana Brown's. Oh, this one's a pitcher. It's Jim Crane. We don't know who's responsible for these moves. Like, I'm sick of the whole, Bagwell gets the blame here. Dana gives the blame here. Crane gets the blame here. It's the entire front office. And Crane's the one signing off on every single one of these deals. So I don't like the whole, well, this is a Dana Brown trade. Why? Because I think it is. What?
Well, in my opinion, I think this one is on Dana. I protected him on the other one.
Why do you think it's Dana's move, though?
The owner mandated, hey, we need a starting pitcher?
Why can't I think it's Dana's move?
I'm just asking, because
in the other ones, you heard that Crane was doing this, Bagwell was doing that. You're right.
Well, they didn't have a GM.
And the owner has to sign off on all of it. I get that. But at the same time, Dana's been out in front of all of this. Dana's the guy that
job.
They trust with the...
Right. He's the GM.
So why wouldn't it be on him, then?
Well, who can reject it above him?
But we've known that Crane doesn't seem to reject anything other than the big names.
Oh, that's not true. He rejected the Jose Urquidy for Contreras trade.
We heard that was dusty.
But who's the boss? Who's the one deciding? Okay, Click or Dusty? Who's making the call? It's Crane.
Okay, if there's a confrontation or a conflict between your manager and your general manager, then the owner can get involved. But he doesn't seem to have the propensity to want to get involved in every move.
I completely disagree.
Okay, fine.
He sided with Dusty Baker for the Urquidy Contreras thing. He didn't hire a general manager for months after firing a World Series winning general manager. And we don't think that he likes the control?
No, I didn't say he doesn't like the control. That never came out of my mouth. But what I'm saying is, in moves like this, I don't think that he's that concerned with minor leaguers and prospects as he is big fish hunting. And to me, because Dana's been out in front of all this, and you're right, it's his job, and this is part of the negotiating every deal with every team and kicking, you know, unturning every stone. It's his job. And so if this one doesn't go right, unlike other ones where there's been the ability to at least consider how many people were involved in this based on the comments that they made after and before and during, this is one that I feel is on Dana.
Yeah. I mean, I think at best that's an educated guess.
I don't have sources. I don't know that for sure. You're right.
Yeah. 713-780-ESP. I just, and it's not just from you that I've heard that. Everybody's like, oh, this is a Dana trade. Oh, this is a Crane trade. Oh, this is a Bagwell trade. None of you have any clue. It's the Astros front office, and if we want to bang on them collectively, all for it, all for it. The Astros front office has no idea what they're doing. Okay, we can have that conversation, but the cherry picking, well, it's this is this guy, that's that guy, that's this guy. I'm just over that. 713-780-ESP. Let's get to your reaction to this trade, 713-780-3776. We'll also hear from Dana Brown why he made this trade, Joe Espada with comments as well. It's the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Mike Holley, U of H class of 1990, go Cougs. Always great to trade with HRMP or use HRMP or do business with HRMP. They've been protecting the interest of your business for nearly 25 years and businesses of everybody around town. Going on 3 decades now, HRMP provides comprehensive human capital management services, including HR compliance, benefits administration, and payroll. HRMP will also work with you to customize a plan for whatever you need. There's nothing cookie cutter about HRMP. You need a little help, a lot of help, anything in between. HRMP will create a plan for what you and your business needs. Also, their customer service second to none. You'll never talk to a stranger on the other side of the line. You'll be calling someone familiar with you, familiar with your company. I can speak to that customer service anytime I have a question. Always get a quick response. Very easy to understand. Let HRMP take on the demands of human resources and eliminate your HR burden so you can get back to growing your business. Give them a call right now, 281-880-6525, and let HRMP customize a plan for you, 281-880-6525. Or check them out on the web, hrp.net. That's hrp.net.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Texting enrolls you in recurring automated marketing text messages. Consent are required to purchase. Message and data rates may apply.
The team's looking good this season.
I think so. Man, I miss playing football. Being young with unlimited energy to burn ever since I turned 40. I just can't find that fire I used to have.
Think it could be lower testosterone?
What do you mean?
All guys lose their edge when they turn 40. The body has less testosterone. That's why I take Nugenix Total T.
I've heard about Nugenix. That really works?
Since I started taking Nugenix, I'm lifting like when we played for Coach Carter. I feel more energized at work. It's even spiced up things between me and the missus.
Are they still giving out complimentary bottles for people to try?
Yep, send a text. It's that easy.
Text RULE to 42424 right now for your complimentary bottle of Nugenix Total T. It's the number one selling testosterone boosting brand at GNC and Walmart. Do it now and they'll also send you a bottle of Nugenix Thermo X, their newest, most powerful fat burner ever, absolutely free. Text RULE to 42424. That's RULE to 42424.
These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Give me the VIN.com salutes a guitar playing son of a gun. American blues musician Buddy Guy, who was noted for his slashing electric guitar riffs and passionate vocals, was born in Letchworth, Louisiana on this day in 1936. You'll never get the blues from GimmeTheVIN.com. In fact, we'll show you the green when you sell your car to Gimme the VIN, where we'll beat any CarMax offer or pay you $100.
Sell us your car. GimmeTheVIN.com. So easy you can do it in your
Hi, this is Harold Gunn.
And this is Bill Olson. Texas Outdoor News is the longest-running, most award-winning outdoor radio show in the state for a lot of good reasons.
We bring you the latest news and information about hunting and fishing across our great state and beyond.
And our guests are who's who from industry, government, and the field.
Texas Outdoor News is brought to you by Ford Trucks and your best in Texas Ford dealers. Join us Saturday mornings at 6, Sunday at 7 on ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to The Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
King of Twitch, I think this trade was all you could get. Do you think that Kikuchi was the biggest return you could get for the trio of players, Oberfido, Willie Wagner, Billy's Boy, and Bluss, that you could get?
I don't. I don't think that's all you could get. I think that there might have been other options. And like you said, look, we may never know what was on the table and what other options there were. I just know that there was still a lot of names, and maybe more names than I'd expected at this point in the process, to still be available, to where I would hope that there was more than one option at this price, but maybe that is the case.
Based on the high price, which was obvious to anybody paying attention, based on reports that the Astros were talking to Detroit and they didn't get anything done and the Astros felt the price was too high, I do think that this was the most that they could get for this trio of prospects that the Astros sent out. I think they tried to do it with Flaherty and didn't get it done. You could have gotten James Paxton, but James Paxton's pretty bad. It would have came at a much, much, much less of a cost than Yusei Kikuchi, but I don't think he's as good a pitcher as Yusei Kikuchi, the mid-unit, is.
You know, you have to kind of weigh it from a lot of different options, but at least from a Paxton perspective, he's better than Bloss. So he would have filled that void. But you're right. You want to upgrade because of where this team's at and what it's trying to do. You would like to get something better than him. But obviously, at what price? That price was extremely steep to me.
8811 Dana O'Brien. I've seen a lot of people calling for Dana's head, which we'll see how it plays out. 0002 in just 2 years, Dana Brown has traded Drew Gilbert, Ryan Clifford, Corey Lee, Jake Bloss, Joey Loperfido, and Will Wagner for Verlander, Graveman, and Yusei Kikuchi. Let that sink in. He's close to Bill O'Brien as the worst GM ever. Okay.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of comparisons with Billy O.
See, I think that there's a lot of front office here, though, because, again, how much was the influence to get Verlander from people that weren't Dana Brown? Was there a mandate for Dana Brown to go get a starting pitcher from his superiors? We don't know. The Astros front office, to me, has been in my crosshairs for a while. I think that the Astros front office has been poor since they fired a World Series-winning general manager who, ironically, works in Toronto, who was on the other side of this trade. So, Dana, Crane, Bagwell, Jackson, Enos Cabell, anybody who's rubbing elbows with the front office of the Houston Astros, I think have been doing a poor job since Clink was let go.
And it's fair to say that it could have been all or numerous members of the Crane gang, and I'm fine putting the blame on all of them. You're absolutely right on that. My big thing, too, is when we talked about Caserio a year ago, when we talked about the Texans and the offensive line, you knew what we didn't know, which was that there were already issues that you were supposed to be preparing for, to where you had insurance policies built in, which you didn't have. That text kind of leads me to go back and say, we were talking about starting pitchers when everybody said we didn't need one and Dusty wanted one before Dusty's last year. We were talking in the offseason, no matter when we thought these guys were going to come back, there might be a need and the what-if scenario of getting another starting pitcher. So the fact that it's one thing to say, yes, let that sink in, all those guys are gone, but I think it's another thing to just look at the big picture and say, hey, if you knew that there was nothing set in stone that would have guaranteed you're going to have these pitchers back and do the things you were going to do in the last couple of years, you probably should have had at least a guy or two kind of able to do what you needed him to do as a spot starter, fill-in starter, back of the rotation guy. And then at a certain point, you can either move him to the bullpen, get rid of him, do a lot of different things, but at least you were prepared instead of panicked.
Yeah. The Astros are sending high A right-hander Kelly Austin to the Yankees in the Caleb Ferguson deal. Lefty's had a rough year for the Yankees. Even with a rough year, though, he's been good against lefties. He's had a pretty good career, mostly with the Dodgers. Has appeared in 8 playoff games, has not given up a run. I like the trade. You give up nothing of significance unless Kelly Austin turns into something. And it's low A pitcher, or high A pitcher, but you know, not a high prospect. And they also sent $750,000 in international bonus pool money. I'm more concerned about that than the Kelly Austin part of it. So I actually like that. Kind of shores up the bullpen a little bit, adds a quality arm to the bullpen. Don't dislike that at all. There is another trade in Major League Baseball that just got finalized. Two-way trade. I'm sorry. Padres get Tanner Scott from the Marlins and Brian Hoeing. It's a weird hobby. And the Marlins get Robbie Snelling, Adam Mazur, Graham Pauly, and Jay Beshear.
So, do you see their prospect ranks?
I have not, no.
Yeah, this is from Bob Nightingale. Apparently, it was the Padres' third, fourth, and sixth, along with their 29th overall prospects.
Woo. What is that? I hate the whole where the team prospect thing. I couldn't care less.
Yeah, I don't know where they would rank on the top 100, yeah. But according to Nightingale, it's their third, fourth, sixth, and 29th ranked prospects.
For a reliever.
Yeah, for Tanner Scott.
No, I'm pretty sure he has club control.
The guy Hoeing.
I don't think he's a rental, but
I don't think he is either. And he was one of the top relievers that everybody was supposed to be chasing. So,
and that's a relief arm.
Yeah,
like the price for pitching has been insane. Insane.
No, you're right. And I think that maybe
he is a rental.
Is he?
Yeah.
Wow.
And he's a relief rental, the best relief arm on the market. But still, I mean, this is the price for poker at this year's trade deadline, which, maybe you add some quality arms in the offseason so you don't have to be in this position. Yes, the Astros have 7 starting pitchers on the IL, which certainly forced their desperation ahead of the deadline. All right, let's get to Espada and Dana Brown on the other side. More of your reaction as well as the Astros making a blockbuster last night. Jake Bluss, Joey Loperfido, Willie Wagner, Billy's boy, going to Toronto for Yusei Kikuchi and his 4.75 ERA. It's the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
The granddaddy of all hunting shows is back. The 2024 Hunters Extravaganza. This weekend at the NRG Center. Fun for the whole family. Check out our hunting seminars, the latest in hunting equipment, last season's best bucks in our annual deer contest, and for the little hunters, games, live alligators, snakes, and more. This weekend at the NRG Center. For details and tickets, go to huntersextravaganza.com.
There's so many ways to enjoy MyBookie, whether you're betting on sports or playing in their live casino. Joel Blank here to tell you all about it. At MyBookie, you can bet on football futures, like your hometown team winning over or under 9.5 wins. Or you can bet on today's football games all over the world. MLB, UFC, golf, tennis, soccer. You can even bet on the WNBA. Take watching sports up a notch with a little wager on the game of your choice. If you're into blackjack and roulette, MyBookie's casino features live dealers. It's like playing at a table in Vegas, but you're in your own home. Heck, you could be in your pajamas or your boxer shorts, and you could still be enjoying casino games. Let's talk bonuses. If you're new to MyBookie, you can get a first deposit bonus up to $1,000. If you're already a MyBookie customer, they have reload bonuses to maximize your deposit. Go to MyBookie.ag right now, click on bonuses, use our promo code BET975. It's the best online sports book and casino. It's MyBookie.ag. Always use our promo code BET975 and bet anything, anytime, anywhere. But the only place I tell you to do it, MyBookie.ag.
John Granato here with Dr. Manaviz from Access Vascular Health. We've been talking about prostates, but let's talk about knees now, how you're helping people with arthritis.
We'll start off seeing if you would need an injection or benefit from that. Then we'll assess to see if you're getting enough blood flow to and from your lower extremities. And we'll end with seeing if you would be a candidate for GAE.
And the success rate is amazing.
The technical success rate is 99.7%.
So if you're experiencing any knee problems, go to 975prostate.com and click on the knee tab. Hey, everybody, John Granato with Robin Orlando from Houston Powder Coaters. Robin, boat season is almost here. What do you do for boats?
Boats, if it's metal, we got you, okay? So we make sure we give the proper primer and the proper procedures to make sure that metal lasts on that ocean water.
What kind of things on boats do you powder coat?
Typically, we will do like the handrails. We do the T-tops. We've done a few anchors, which is pretty cool. But yeah, we can do, if it's metal, we can touch it.
You'd make those anchors look cool.
We do.
And you can do your team's colors. Your anchor could be whatever team you love.
Yes, we had an LSU fan. All purple, baby.
Purple and gold.
Yes.
If I call, can I talk to Robin Orlando at Houston Powder Coaters?
It's going to be me, Jennifer. You'll talk to one of us, but you will definitely be in good hands with either myself or one of my teammates.
Call Houston Powder Coaters.
281-676-3888.
Or you can go to the website at HoustonPowderCoaters.com, but it's better to talk to Robin.
That's me.
You're locked in with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
All right, Astros make the big trade yesterday. Most people dislike it greatly. Here, Dana Brown, the Shin carried this, by the way. Good job by the Shin. Carrying Dana Brown yesterday, press conference after the game, talking about what he likes about Yusei Kikuchi and the idea that he may be able to stabilize the rotation.
The market right now is such. So, you know, a lot of these guys are, you know, getting they have high price tags. You know, in order to get a major league starter with that type of arm, I mean, you're going to have to give up some pretty good players that hurt. You know, and it's pretty difficult to give up young talent. But at the end of the day, you know, we're trying to really stabilize our rotation so that we can get back to the postseason and potentially get deep into the postseason.
That was Dana Brown yesterday. He sounds like a heartbroken man.
He kind of does seem deflated. Like heartbroken. There's no doubt about it. His facial expressions lead you to believe the same thing.
It sounds like he was mandated by his boss to get a starting pitcher, and he didn't like that he had to trade his third-round gem in Jake Blostrom a year ago.
Okay.
Here was another one from Dana Brown, Astros general manager, who a lot of people unfired today, on Yusei Kikuchi's stuff, which everybody's saying is plus-plus.
We see Kikuchi as a guy who could really strike guys out. We see him as a guy who could really log some innings for us because we're going to need that. And we see him as a guy who could pitch in the postseason with the power that he brings, you know, throwing from 93 to 98. And so this addition for us, you know, we feel like this could be a pretty good addition.
There you go. We feel like it could
get down the stretch.
Pretty good addition. I do think that it helps the back end of the rotation. He's an upgrade this year over Jake Bloss. He might be an upgrade over Spencer Arrighetti, depending on what you get, what your pitching coaches do with him, et cetera, et cetera. 9648 says the price of pitching is because of Brown. He set the table with that terrible trade. Terrible trade's fair. It's a fair thing to call it. The price was already very high.
Yes.
He didn't set the table that high. It had been there.
And before we even got to this point where the multiple deals were coming through, we knew the price was going to be high because the demand was through the roof with how many teams were on the cusp of chasing a spot, and they were buyers, not sellers.
Yeah, 713-780-ESPN. What is best worst case for Yusei Kikuchi? And let's throw an injury out of here, because that obviously that's the easy worst case answer. But what's best worst case for Yusei Kikuchi? I say great trade. Just kidding. Of the rest of the way, final 2 months of the regular season.
Well, I think the worst case scenario is that he just kind of stays true to what the numbers have been this season. If he stays at a 7.75 ERA, if he looks like he's been in his last 8 starts when he hasn't been getting guys out and basically, you know, keeping runs off the board, then people are just going to be even more and more with each passing start. They're going to be extremely pissed off, and it's going to be even more of a massive failure. Where it works out for you is if every fifth day when he gets the baseball, that he gives you a quality start, that he's keeping you in games, that he's doing more, like we've said, than you thought Bloss could do this year. And in a race that where every game is, you know, means something, and the difference between the two teams right now is so razor thin, those starts matter. And if he steps up and gives you a lot more than you were getting out of the back end of your rotation, then I think people are going to be a lot more forgiving and understanding of the fact that, hey, this is what you had to do with the price of doing business this season to keep this team, like Dana said, you know, in a playoff hunt.
Yeah, best case for me is he's your fifth starter, quite frankly. But he stabilizes the rotation like Dana Brown talked about, and he could be a weapon out of the bullpen considering the other four guys, because I don't want Kikuchi making a playoff start. I want it to be Fromber, Hunter Brown, Justin Verlander, Ronel Blanco, because I don't want Ronel Blanco to have the regression. If everything's going right with those four guys, Kikuchi's not cracking your four-man playoff rotation. Now, part of this trade was to make sure that you get into the playoffs, because the lead's certainly not safe. You're in a percentage point tie with Seattle for first place in the American League West. So this was about getting into the playoffs more than this starter in the postseason that's going to be one of your top guys, because best case scenario, he's your number five starter, and you don't use a fifth starter when it comes to the playoffs. I do think he has the stuff that presents a canvas for the Astros pitching coaches, Murphy and Miller, that they're going to be excited about, because he does have good velo, his breaking stuff plays, his changeup's pretty good, like numbers-wise, but he never throws it, like throws it very little. So I bet we see more of the changeup for Yusei Kikuchi when he's working against hitters. I also think that they're going to ask him to nibble more, because he does have a high strikeout rate. His strikeouts to innings pitch is high. His strikeout to walk rate is high. So there are some numbers that will excite the Astros pitching coaches. What they do with him will be fascinating to me. I think they're going to use the changeup more with him. I think they're going to want him to nibble more, be a little bit more prone and accepting to walk a guy as opposed to leaving his fastball over the middle of the plate. I was looking at his heat map today. His fastball, middle. And he gives up a lot of home runs, especially to righties. Righties in the Crawford boxes, blah, 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 blah. So I think that they're going to ask him to nibble more. I think they're going to ask him to do the change up a little bit more as well. King of Twitch will bet you $1 he's getting a playoff start. He might. Like, he might, because maybe Blanco does fall apart down the stretch. Maybe Verlander. Maybe there's an injury, which, I mean, the Astros starting pitchers have been dropping like flies all year long. So, I mean, yeah, there's a decent chance, but best case scenario, he doesn't make a playoff start. Worst case scenario, he pitches to what he's been, has a 4.75 ERA, and doesn't stabilize the back of the rotation for you.
Yeah, no, and I think that you get options now if he does end up doing what he's supposed to do the rest of the regular season. If you get to the playoffs, if he's an arm coming out of your bullpen, you have an advantage, I think, because you've got you got lefties now to choose from instead of years past when you only had one, if that, and Dusty was always looking for his lefty. To the fact that when you think that he can get around these guys, I think that even when it gets down to game prep and sequencing, it's the sequencing, it's the usage, it's the fact that if you can change some things up, and he also understands that, hey, more than one pitcher has identified, the way the Astros do things is a little bit different, and the fact that they are, you know, heavy into the spin rates and the numbers and the video and everything, maybe they can find something to, like you said, because control has been the issue more than just the variety of pitches and the quality of pitches. If they can do some things to kind of get him dialed in, that would be a huge advantage for this team for this year, no matter what the long-term effects are.
9648, promoting Eric Lauer, who has similar career numbers as Kikuchi, and keeping your prospect would have been a smarter move than this crap. I agree with that. A lot of texters are saying the move was to not make a move. That's what I would have done here. Like, if you're telling me that this was the price for a project rental who hasn't really been very productive this year, yes, some of the projection numbers on him are encouraging, but it's a project. That would have been my move. I wouldn't have made the trade. I would have tried to survive with Jake Bloss until you get one of these guys back. Lauer may be an option. Blue Ball may be an option. I wouldn't have made the trade if this was the cost. That said, what you sent out doesn't really break my heart.
Don't you feel like that there was pressure now because of all the statements made and all the kind of...
Oh, no
of,
doubt. We got and probably the mandate from the owner.
And that's where I would factor the owner in, that they don't want the egg on their face, that they said they had to get a starting pitcher at the deadline and then they came up empty and didn't get one. And because of the fact that then on top of that, if you don't get one and you're riding Bloss at the back end and you're, you know, losing ground to the Mariners, that everybody's going to continue to point the finger and that they don't like that very much. So I think that probably factored in as well. What if does it change anything if best case is not only does Kikuchi do whatever he's supposed to do this year, but that he re-ups on more of that $12 million a year range coming back if you still need a starter?
I think those are two entirely different conversations.
No, I know, but I'm saying, would you entertain that as being something that you'd be interested in Kikuchi at 12 again?
I need to see what he does in the final 2 months. Like, I've seen...
Fair.
Yeah, I need to see what he does in the final... I'm not making an extension now.
No, not right now, but I'm saying at the end of the year...
Let me see what he does.
Let me see what he does. If he does enough to carry you through and you're still juggling with injuries, trying to figure out what you're going to be next season, and he's willing to come back on that kind of a deal, 12, 13 a year.
I mean, he's a Boris guy. If he pitches well down the final 2 months, I'm sure he's not doing a $12 million one-year deal. Yeah, so, I mean, there's a lot of variables that go into that question. 6118, important question. Do we have a translator, and do we need one? How many prospects do we have to give up for a translator? I know where you can get a translator very, very cheap. Locked up behind bars. Now, he might have some issues. He might have some baggage, but you can get him for very, very cheap.
Does he have a cell phone? Because that's all you need to basically make it happen.
Yeah, cricket, maybe. Todd said, I wouldn't have made the trade just on team control versus rental. Yes, that's why I would have just made no trade. 7428, what does this mean for Bregman or King Tuck? I thought Wagner or Loperfido would have been a future starter. This means nothing for Bregman and King Tuck. This is a completely different conversation altogether. 6927, they should have signed Paxton off the trash heap when they had the chance. They never had that chance. He was traded before he ever entered the trash heap. Now, you could say that they should have made the trade for Paxton, gave the Dodgers more than what Boston did, and maybe you wouldn't have been as desperate for Yusei Kikuchi. But, like, let's eliminate the prospects and the price that it took. I'd rather have Kikuchi than Paxton. In my mind, it's not even close.
I would too, but I also think that there is something to the fact that Dodgers don't want to do anything to help the Astros either. And you know that with a guy that you basically are getting rid of, the price tag's not going to be that great anyway. And those two have been trade partners in the past with the Dodgers and the Red Sox on a variety of different fronts, to where I do think there is something to that there are teams out there that aren't interested in trying to help the Astros. Unless they get completely wowed over by a deal.
Outside of the division, I don't put a whole lot of weight in that. I mean, look, the Yankees made a trade with the Astros today. Outside of the league, I don't put any weight in that. The Dodgers were literally going to release him, and they had 10 days to make a trade. I think they were going to trade him to the highest bidder, no matter who it was. Now, maybe in division it could be different, but I don't think opposite league it really mattered at all. 713-780-ESPN. We have an hour left ahead of the trade deadline. What do you want the Astros to do, if anything, over the next 60 minutes? 713-780-3776. It's the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. This is a move that you need to make. You need to get a goal from Pro Dunk Hoops. You know, we're talking a lot about who fleeced who. We don't think Houston got the better end of a trade that was made yesterday. Anytime you're doing business with Pro Dunk Hoops, you're doing the fleecing. You're getting the deal because they make the highest quality basketball goals you'll ever find. Tempered glass backboard, that's a win. Stainless steel hardware, that's a win. Height adjustable, that's a win. Rust proof in Houston, that's a win. And of course, their breakaway rim, because you're going to be dunking. Why? Not because you're going to be slamming in goals that are 10 feet tall. No, you can lower it all the way down to 5 feet. That's more your wheelhouse. But you can lower your goal to 5 feet, raise it all the way up to 10 feet, and have a good old time wherever you have your goal set at. Their new goal, Thor, by the way, you can raise and lower the goal with a drill. It's called the lightning adjust feature, anywhere from 5 feet to 10 feet in a matter of seconds. It's fun to do. It's easy to do. And all you idiots, I'm talking to myself here. It's very simple. It's idiot proof for people like me. Their accessories are next level too. Look, it's a little hot in Houston during the day when the sun's out. We know that. You're at the office during the day. The only chance you had to play a little hoops whenever the lights, the sun goes down. Well, good thing that the fine folks at Pro Dunk have these LED light kits. You can play at night when it cools down when you're at home. Backstop nets, pole pad lettering, and lots more. And you can order everything online, including professional installation. I'm not great with a drill or a level or a ladder. I don't need to be, because the pros from Pro Dunk are. And they're going to install your goal at the perfect height, perfectly straight. You don't do a thing. Let the pros at Pro Dunk Hoops do the work for you. Give them a call right now, 281-351-9822, and visit ProDunk.com. That's ProDunk.com.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.